We enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Good morning. We are here to praise God today, and it is so great to be in His house all together. This morning we would like to recognize any first-time visitors. Is there anybody with us today that has not been with us previously? If you would, please stand. The announcements, it's getting to that time of year when there are just announcements upon announcements in your bulletin. We have several things going on this week that need to be discussed. First of all, at the end of the week is the Sleigh Bells Bazaar and Barbecue. You have an insert in your bulletin. It's green. There's one slight change in it where it says silent auction items. There are now over 100 silent auction items. We are looking forward to seeing each and every one of you there. During the breakfast this morning, which will be right after the service in the fellowship hall, there will be a sheet for you to sign up to either help, and we also need baked goods. So if you have not been contacted to do either one of those things, or if you haven't done anything else, please consider helping with baked goods or to help either on Friday or Saturday with the bazaar. Also in the narthex, there is a box with the, where'd you put it? Oh, there it is, the loaf. And there's an insert in your bulletin concerning the collecting change over the course of the month of November to feed children with. Put the box prominently. I put it on our kitchen table so that when we sit down to eat or we walk by and there's pocket change, we put it there. We put it in here. And then pray that God will comfort and protect the children of Manara and that they will come to experience the love of Christ through Caring World Vision staff. So pick this up in the narthex, take it home, put your change in it through November, and then we will be collecting those at the end of November. This past week, we lost one of the members of our congregation in Miss Post. We have a note from the family here. Many thanks to Jenkins Church for the many acts of kindness, food, cards, and flowers sent during our loss of our mother, Margaret Post. All was very much appreciated. It came from Steve and Susan Dornan and the Post family. And the flowers on the altar are from the Post family. This Wednesday night, two things will be happening. First of all, there will be dinner as usual. And if you've never come to one of the Wednesday night dinners, it's a great time of fellowship. We're having ham and steamed potatoes, white beans, rolls, and salad, and a dessert this week. In your bulletin, there's a place to sign up for it so we know how much to eat. If you can't make it there till, say, quarter after six, the food's still there. Just come and join us. And right after that, the women of the church will be meeting for CPW. So if you've never been to a CPW meeting, please come. And don't say, oh, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I won't know anybody. You know me, and I'll be there. Okay? So please come to CPW and have the time of a great fellowship. Also, many in this congregation don't come to Sunday school. This is a great time of fellowship for everyone, and there are classes for every adult. If you have not experienced the fellowship of Sunday school in this church, please make a point of doing it. This week we're having our breakfast after church, but next week we have Sunday school, and there's a class for everyone. Please come and join us for that. Are there any other announcements from the congregation? Yeah? Okay. Are there any prayer requests today?
Joyce Thomas is home. Unfortunately, he's in his close family. But his loader is at Rebecca rehab and not doing real well, so with the Dale family and his mother's family. That's a pretty good compliment. Our young people are allowing they should be heading this way now. Now, the Kelso account, I guess we had 12, 15, I'm not sure. Buffalo, Susan, Teresa, Elizabeth, Pam, for the adults, Andrew, was one of the young people, Heather, I'm not sure the rest of them.
So let's pray for the young folks and their chaperones as they're traveling. Are there any other prayer requests? Let's now bow for a moment of silent prayer. Amen. We are here to give glory and honor and praise to God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus, our Savior, through song, prayer, giving, speaking, hearing, and responding. Please turn with me to the responsive reading 646 for our call to worship. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?"
And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven."
And I also say to you that you are a Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
And the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also
for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit.
He put all men under his feet, and made him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all of them.
You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
And you build on the foundation of our apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, who is the chief cornerstone.
In whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord.
In whom also
of God in the Spirit. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ, who loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word,
that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 529. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Jesus. Do we love Him? How much do we love Him? Then why do we love Him? We love Him because He first loved us. We couldn't know about this kind of love unless we'd experienced it. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come this morning thanking You for sending Your Son, Jesus. And that's an expression of Your love. But He came loving. Lord, we just thank You for that great gift, the gift of Your dear Son, and that He provided for us the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. Lord, we come this morning just to rejoice in that and to rethink it, or maybe to think it through for the first time. We pray that You would just bless this service as we sing about the home that Jesus has prepared for us, as we attempt to proclaim Your Word or expound upon Your Word concerning the salvation that You offer through Him. Thank You. Thank You for this time together. And thank You for these who have come. And thank You for Your Word. And we pray in Jesus' name, now praying the prayer that He taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Let us now join together in our statement of faith by reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We shall behold that beautiful sight.
Sentence this morning is taken from Psalms 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Will the ushers please come forward? Scripture lesson this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 16 verses 13 through 19 and John chapter 3 verses 14 through 18. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound on in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The Word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Please turn to 290 in your hymnal. As a reading of prayer and challenge. God of the living church, empower thine ancient might reveal. Give wisdom for this crucial hour, and in thy mercy heal.
God of the living church, forgive, renew, protect, translate. In thee to be, and move, and live. Emmanuel, amen.
God of the living church, renew. Fresh vision now impart, and as we strive to live for you, sustain each faithful heart. God of the living church, we plead, bestow thy mighty power, thy loving presence, Lord, we need, to give us.
Hymn 539. Oh, that will be glory. Let's sing the first and last stanzas.
Thanks to Becky this morning. This is her first time to lead worship, and some of that stuff she was describing, I was glad to hear it described in a little more excited way than we normally do. I started to look around. Are we in the same church?
Thank you, Becky. We sometimes get, what, I guess complacent or kind of in a groove and forget
that we can have some excitement, even as Presbyterians and Cumberland Presbyterians. You heard Are You Joined Then? Singing two songs about heaven, Sweet By and By, and then that will be glory. Glory when we enter into heaven. The function of the church. The main part of it, the ultimate end of our activity, get us ready for heaven. Get us prepared so that we will go that away at the end of our life. I trust that you have a handout for the somewhat of an outline of the sermon. 3 weeks ago, on the 10th, I had a six-point outline and got through point one. And this morning, we'll go with point two. And maybe we'll get through it. And again, how many points should a sermon have? At least one good one. And maybe this has at least one good one. So we're talking this morning more about the church and sharing Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus. But when we share the good news, we're sharing Him. And that is, we share Him to learn how to live in this life, but to get ready for the next life. Hopefully, we will be ready when Jesus comes. Well, October the 10th, I believe it was. Seems so long ago, does it not? I think I said, I hope I said, the church is a place where the hurting, the depressed, the frustrated, the confused can find love, acceptance, help, hope, forgiveness, guidance, and encouragement. And I hope that happens through Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Today, let's consider the second point of that sermon about the church. Make a full sermon out of this. The church. Jenkins Church. A place where we share the good news of Jesus Christ with the neighborhood around us. Who is our neighbor? There is no limit to who our neighbor is or where we find neighbors. But first and foremost, our neighborhood around us. Should we say in a 3 mile radius, a 6 mile radius, a 20 mile radius? Someone figured out how many stoplights, and I forget now, but how many stoplights the people that live in town, a large city, will drive through to attend the church. And it's not very many. In the rural area, they may drive a little further. If they're really committed for some reason to that church, they may drive miles and miles and miles. But our neighborhood is around us. The neighborhood around us. I believe we have somewhere near 3,000 residents in the city. Somewhere near that. Started out with about 1,800. 8 years ago, and it has grown, and I could be off a few thousand even. But that's somewhere in the neighborhood. I do know that we're promised somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 new homes in the neighborhood. Our neighborhood will change drastically in the next 10 years. You won't know it. If some of you attended the meeting Tuesday night concerning roadways in our neighborhood, it will be different. If we don't build new roads, we'll be sitting at a standstill on the ones that we have for many, many minutes, if not hours. Last Friday, I left Trevecca at the wrong time and tried to come Polk Avenue and Nolensville Road because I knew that 24 would be jammed. It took me over an hour to get that short distance, those few miles, from Trevecca to Jenkins Church. Somewhere along the way, I looked, and I wasn't nearly here, and it was 45 minutes. It took me 15 minutes to get the rest of the way, so it was a long route, and we can expect that. We can expect that and more of that right here. 1,500 new homes, you know how many people that amounts to? Somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.7 person per household. But many of these will be young families, and they'll have more than 0.7 children. Some of them will have 2.7 or 5.7 children. Just drive through the neighborhood now. But it's three persons per household. Say if every household has one child average, 1,500 new homes, 3 to 15, if my math is correct, and I know I'm pretty weak on it, I figured different than most people. The session is aware of this, and you have been aware of this. I can figure that budget down to a T, and it works perfect in my mind, and it will work, but they won't trust me on it. How many have you done the math now while I was blabbering on here? 3 to 15 is 45. 4,500 new people in the community. And that's just in the city limits. That's just in the subdivisions that's planned. What else will happen? What else will happen? We don't know. We don't know. If I figure correctly, 1.5 times the size of our town at this point. And as a church, we cannot sit and wait for people to come to us. We have been given a mandate to go and tell. Go and tell. It's not just that we want to have a bigger church. That's immaterial, really. We want to share the gospel with people. We want to give people a place where first to lead them to know Jesus as their Savior and to as their Lord. Not only to save them, but to serve Him as their Lord. And then, in addition to that, we want to give people a place, an opportunity to worship in truth and in spirit. And we want to give them an alternative to the other types of worship that might be down the street. Everybody doesn't want to worship like we do. So they find an alternative method of offering their expressions before God. But we don't like to worship as those others do. So we have this type of worship. Kind of quiet, kind of relaxed, kind of subdued. Talking to one guy one day and was talking about his church, and I just said, well, your church may be a little louder than ours. And I said, and he said, yeah, but y'all need to get with it. And I said, well, I believe there might be a quieter corner in heaven also, somewhere up there, for us 4% of Presbyterians are thereabout that like to be quiet in their worship. I think we'll go to the same heaven, but there'll be maybe a loud corner and a quiet corner, like there are loud churches and quieter churches and in-between churches, okay? We are commanded, we are commissioned by Jesus Himself to go and tell, to make disciples. The Great Commission, if you want to make a note, Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. Start in Jerusalem, Jesus told those disciples, and then go out to Judea, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, we are the uttermost parts of the earth. We are the uttermost parts of the earth.
that he was talking about then. But now, from wherever we are planted, we witness to our neighbors first, our Jerusalem, then our Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And there must be a balance between this. We can't spend all our energies right here at home. Neither can we spend all of our energies and resources way over there somewhere. I'm not sure I've ever heard of this place that these funds will go to and to help in some way. Some of our energies go to Russia. Some go to the Lovelo. Some go to places closer around to us. But we do these things to share the gospel. Samuel Stone lived between 1839 and 1900. And he wrote a song, or a hymn, I think we can call it a hymn, that reminds us that Jesus is the foundation of the church. So when we talk about building the church or adding to the church or inviting people into the church, hopefully we are inviting them to meet Jesus, to know Jesus, to know Jesus as their personal Savior, and to know Jesus as their Lord. It's number 277 in your hymnal, but we're not going to sing it right now unless you just break out in song, and we would allow that if you wanted to. But the song is, "The Church's One Foundation." And it says, the first line in it, "The Church's One Foundation," the one foundation of the church, "is Jesus Christ." And then he gets a real good two words in, "Her Lord." The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. He is our Lord. He is our foundation, and He is also our Lord. This hymn and the Bible both tell us that the church is the bride of Jesus. On down in the 277, "The Church's One Foundation," it talks about the church being Jesus' bride. And He's coming to claim one day. And then, at another place, the Bible says that the church is Christ's body. And that was part of our call to worship. We read about in that the church being the body of Christ. So, this service, you can tell now, was kind of planned with some connectedness in it. Is that a real word? Connectedness? We'll use it anyway. Kind of connected together. Aspects of Jesus being the head of the church. We are His people, we're His body, or we're His bride, two different descriptions, getting us ready for the sweet by and by, that place in, that we call heaven. The bride, the body of Christ. We are His church. We are Christ's church. People keep talking about your church, and I keep saying it's not my church. It's the church where I'm privileged to preach, privileged to hang out, privileged to have office space. Matthew chapter 16, we read it twice in the call to worship. We read it again in the scripture lesson. "I will build my church." Who said that? Jesus. It wasn't Peter's church. It's Jesus' church. "I will build my church." We have a mandate. Or we have an order. Or we have a commission to, through the church, share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who have not heard it, and with those who have heard it but have not believed in Jesus. So we have a mandate to share with those who have not heard the gospel. We have a mandate to share with those who have heard but have not yet believed. And then we have a mandate to share with each other who have heard and do believe. A reminder. Often we need reminders. And someone asked, why do we do the Apostles' Creed over and over and over? A reminder. What do we believe? Jesus Christ is the Savior. God is the Creator. We belong to Him. The major tenets of the Christian church are included right there in the Apostles' Creed. Not all that we need to know, but the
necessities are right there. So it's a reminder, even for the people who do believe, you and I, we need to be reminded. Reminded of the great gift that God has bestowed on us through Jesus Christ. Let's think about those gifts that we have through Jesus Christ. One of them is forgiveness. We've been forgiven through Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins is what He came for. We've been given the Holy Spirit. Jesus in spiritual form, and He said, I go, but I will not leave you comfortless, and I will send the Comforter to abide with you, the Holy Spirit. We've been given eternal life. Eternal life. Life that lasts eternally. Life that has no end. We've been given heaven. We've been given guidance for living life here on this earth. A man named A.B. Simpson is reported to have said about the gospel that it tells rebellious men that God is reconciled and that justice is satisfied, that sin has been atoned for, our sin has been atoned for, that judgment of the guilty may be revoked, that the condemnation of the sinner is canceled, the curse of the law is blotted out, the gates of hell are closed, the portals of heaven are opened wide, the power of sin is subdued, the guilty conscience is healed, the broken heart is comforted, the sorrow and the misery of the fall of man, is undone. He had a way with words, didn't he? He had a way with words. We need to be reminded of a sweet by and by. We need to be reminded that we can hope in a time of glory. We can anticipate glory. That will be glory for me, rather than right the opposite. John 3, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The John chapter 3, among other places, tells us the good news of Jesus Christ. Someone, even after I thought I had finished this sermon, and I looked up another scripture verse or two, and another, looking for another illustration, what I was really looking for, and it said, oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First 11 verses includes the gospel. So you can refer to that if you want to make a note of it. But John chapter 3 is what I want us to deal with today, or to spend some time with a few moments. John chapter 3 tells us the good news. The good news. The good news of Jesus. The good news that Jesus came to give His life for us. The good news that we can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 14 and 15. You have it there before you. You may have your Bible open. Verse 14 and 15. What does it say? As Moses lifted up the snake or the serpent in the wilderness or in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. This was Jesus speaking. He was speaking about Himself. Moses, you know that story? You find it back in Numbers 21, verse 8 and 9, but before that, leading up to that, Numbers chapter 21, the people rebelled. They were coming through the desert. They had left the drudgery, the slavery of Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey, a heaven on earth, so to speak. They were traveling along and they got tired and they began to grumble and complain and rebel. And is God cruel? Back in the 60s, I was assigned the duty of teaching a young people's high school student a book. Is God cruel? Well, this may sound like he was cruel. He was angry with them. He got their attention. He sent serpents or snakes. He sent snakes to bite them, poisonous snakes, killing snakes. And they began to die. They were frustrated. So God goes to, Moses goes to God and prays about it. People were saying, what can we do? He said, put a brass serpent upon a rod and lift it up. And anybody gets snake bit can look upon this brass serpent or this brass snake. And they'll be healed. So Jesus says, that's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going to be lifted up where people can see me. He was lifted up on the cross. And if we believe in his sacrificial death on the cross as payment for our sins, we're forgiven those sins. Lifted up on the cross. As Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Doesn't say some, says everyone. That everyone who believes in this lifted up Jesus, this crucified Jesus, can have eternal life. And then move on to verse 16. For God so loved the world. He did it. He made it possible for us to be saved because he loves us so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. To save the world. He don't want to condemn it. He don't want to cast us away from himself. God wants us around his throne. He wants us in his presence. He wants us to enjoy him. He wants to enjoy us as we come into his presence. Come in to live eternally. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. A lot of talk about being condemned. But here Jesus says, whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. Romans 8, 8th chapter of Romans, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, there is now no condemnation for them which are in Jesus Christ. No condemnation. We're forgiven. There's forgiveness rather than condemnation. We're not condemned if we're in Jesus Christ. Jesus was lifted up on a cross where he died, paying for our sin, the sin of all people. The sin of all people. He paid our debt. And that's good news. That's the good news of the gospel. That is the gospel. When we trust in Jesus, he saves us from our sin. The punishment due us, he saves us from it. From Satan, he saves us from him. From hell. He saves us from hell. From the condemnation. He saves us from that. From being separated from God. He saves us from that. This is the reason that Jesus established the church. A vehicle through which the good news would be spread. The underlying purpose for all that we do. A building to enable us to share the good news. Sunday school classes to enable us to share the good news. Revival to enable us to share the good news. Just another way of sharing the good news. A Bible study. Just another way to share the good news. A budget. Another way to finance sharing the good news. A choir. Another way to share the good news. The offering. Another way to share the good news. Or one aspect of sharing the good news. There's a purpose statement at the top of your bulletin. What is our purpose as a church? Top of your bulletin, page 1. Right under the name of the church. To glorify God by sharing Jesus. Glorify God by sharing Jesus. Let's look at our invitation hymn. It's amazing. It's amazing that God would do this for us. But He did. And He does. And He will. 512, verse 1 and 4. And let's sing about Jesus giving eternal life to us through His death and through His life. If you have a response to make, if you would like to express your belief or your trust in Jesus this morning, we invite you and even urge you, if you will, to come to the altar and just share that belief that you are believing in Jesus. 512. Stand together as we sing. It is marvelous, but You are marvelous. We thank You this day for salvation, for forgiveness, for eternal life. And we thank You that we can be a part of sharing that truth. Lord, urge us on. Keep us faithful. Motivate us. Move us. That we will not rest till we have faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Southeast.
Amen.